Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast.
You get the idea? Bring me
a dream. It's on the internet.
Make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Go on.
Give him two lips like...
It's like no cheese I've ever tasted.
And tell him that his loss.
Here's the Sandman.
Over Sandman.
You love it. You know you do. Why else would you spend so much time with it? I'm talking about your favorite car, or if you're fortunate enough, car collection. This week kicked off the Monterey Car Week, and in honor of that annual tradition, we are going to be talking about maybe your favorite possession. Welcome to Protect Your Assets. I am David Hollander, your host. It's so great to be with you this morning. For those of you just joining us for the first time, welcome. People around here, you hear the jingle, they call me the Sandman. And that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal, tax, or financial questions each week right here. And that's because we do run a financial planning firm, law firm, and tax practice. When you die, decisions will have to be made about your precious collection that you may or may not agree with. I'm talking about your car. This is Car Week, after all, down in Monterey. A lot's been going on. So why would you leave that to chance? Maybe you have a will. Maybe you have a trust. Realize that may not be enough when it comes to your cars. Cars, particularly valuable ones, and let's face it, nowadays, even your prized possession could be worth a couple hundred thousand dollars. It presents a special set of problems. And if you don't deal with it effectively, they can consume a fair share of effort, angst, and expense for everyone who you leave behind. However, with a little bit of foreplanning, that just doesn't have to be the case. So today we're going to talk about cars and what you can do about them and how you can protect yourself from those sort of things that can come up just by owning them. So keep it right here as we share this unique topic. Now, let's get started. All right, well, markets certainly have cooled down a little bit in August. What started out as a pretty hot month overall didn't work so well for the stock market. We saw the Dow, all the major index off this week, Dow off 2.2%. Still up about 4.1% year-to-date. S&P 500 off 2.1%, still up over 13%. NASDAQ down 2.6%. MSCI International EAFE Index down 2.8%. The 10-year Treasury up a little bit, 0.1%. Overall year-to-date up 0.4%. Oil suffered a little bit this week, down 3.1% to close at 80.63 a barrel. Year-to-date up about 0.5%. And bonds overall down this week about 0.5%, year to date up around 0.2%. So all this activity, this cool down, if you will, these last 3 weeks with markets being down consistently, each of the following past three, got me a question to our question line. Remember, if you have a question, do what John did. This is John in Sebastopol. John asked me, hey, Sandman, near term, how much higher can the S&P 500 go? Well, I appreciate the question because it's been going down. But anyway, John, let's answer your question. What's going on here? Well, this is how you should probably rephrase the question or think about the question. We've had rising bond yields, and rising bond yields are, frankly, just a headwind, like the hurricane coming up through Mexico right now, about to hit Southern California. It's a headwind on stocks, plain and simple. And the increase in the 10-year Treasury has become that force. So I'd like you to understand why this is happening. And so I'm going to spend some time this morning talking about why rising yields, especially on Treasuries, are going to be an increasing headwind on stocks and why this cool down that we've seen so far in August may not be over. So to illustrate this point, I'm going to bring up something called the equity risk premium. Please write that down, ERP. We call this the equity risk premium. Now, the equity risk premium is a measure of longer-term values for stocks in comparison to other assets. And in this case, we are talking about treasuries. ERP is a fancy term for the following: the risk versus the return setup in stocks compared to treasuries in this case. Stocks right now, even though they're down a little bit the last few weeks, are historically riskier and more volatile than bonds. So the equity risk premium is the additional return or reward, if you think about it that way, you would expect when you invest in stocks instead of buying a treasury, because you're taking on excess risk. So you look for higher return, of course. Well, in recent years, the consensus for the ERP and what is called fair ERP was 4%. Let me explain that. Getting a 4% reward over treasuries would compensate you for that extra risk you were taking in stocks. So let's take a look at the current ERP and see where it is in comparison with that fair 4%. Here's how you calculate it. First, you calculate the forward-looking S&P 500 price-to-earnings ratio, which right now, after the 43.70 close we just saw, is sitting a little bit above 18%. And what that means is that you've got the average price per share of the stocks for the S&P 500 for 2024 looking to be $240 a share. Second, you take the inverse of that number. So we're going to divide that 1 divided by the 18 to come up with a return of, say, 5%. That number is the return the market is expecting from stocks over the next year. This is called the earnings yield of the S&P 500. Third, to get the ERP, I want you to subtract the current 10-year yield, because we want additional return beyond investing in treasuries over the next year. So the current yield, as we just mentioned, on the 10-year treasury is 4.25%. So if you do some quick math there, it's a little better than 1%. And 1% is a very, very low number, and obviously well below the 4% historical I just referred to. And so to put this in plain English, John, again, in Sebastopol, I'm trying to answer your question here. To put this in plain English, with the 10-year yield at 4.25%, stock investors are only capturing about 1% additional return for taking all that extra risk in the S&P 500. And given how volatile stocks have been over the past 18 months, that's not a lot of additional reward for the increase in risk that you're experiencing, especially right now. So let's take this back to rising yields, because as we've been seeing this last week and a half, rates have been rising, particularly on the shorter end of the curve here. The higher the yield on the 10-year treasury, the lower, as we just demonstrated, the ERP. So the only way that changes if the value on the stock market goes down. So that's why rising yields are a problem for stocks, because investors will rotate, and they are rotating, out of riskier stocks and into less risky bonds to capture that 5% return. Now, only after stocks drop, and I don't think they've dropped enough yet, and they trade at a better valuation, do you see the inverse become, again, more attractive, where they would be getting out of bonds going back into stocks. So back to regarding the 4% benchmark, it's fair to say that the current environment of high interest rates and inflation is not like the 2015 to 2019 period, John, because it's likely that a fair value ERP is below that number. But that said, it's definitely higher than 1%. So going forward, if treasury yields gradually come down, either via the Fed saying rate hikes are over or inflation continues to moderate, then the ERP will rise and the current headwind that's on stocks right now will start to ease, making the market react more like it did as we saw from March through July. Now, on the other hand, if the 10-year continues to rise, which, of course, we could see if inflation continues to be a problem, and we continue to see numbers, like I'm going to read here in a second about retail sales, then stocks are facing what's called the valuation headwind. And this is unlike anything we've seen in decades. And while that doesn't mean the market's ripe for a sudden drop, it does narrow the chances of any extension of the current rally that we just saw until these yields start to subside. All right, John, so I hope that helps. I hope that helps you get a little bit more focused. And as we were talking about the last few weeks, you may remember several weeks ago on this market segment, we talked about diversifying, pulling out some things and looking at some other things. If you missed that, go back and listen to the podcast in the market segment. Now, inflation's not slowing down. Why do I say that? Well, retail sales were pretty solid in July, and there really wasn't any material sign that the consumer is slowing down. The most important part of the number is the control group, and that is retail sales, less gas, autos, and building materials. The news there was pretty good this past week. As control retail sales rose 1%, it reinforced that the consumer was spending solidly in July. And as we just heard, some of the reserves that were on deposit are being tapped now, so that amount of COVID savings and stimulus and all that's getting shorter. So at one point it's going to eventually, hopefully, well, I shouldn't say hopefully, but probably will run out, and then it won't be so robust. But for the moment, the bottom line is, there was almost no evidence of a slowdown in consumer spending despite the tightening of the Fed over the last 18 months. And while the Fed does not want to see the consumer spending stop, policymakers do want to see moderation in the sales data, and they want to see that consistent with easing growth and falling inflation, not just one or the other. We've got to see it all together. So while retail sales won't make the Fed hike rates in September, it does make another rate hike likely before year end, and it also pushed the market thinking that the rate hikes will no longer occur in March next year, but then May. So now we've pushed that out a little farther, which just means that there's just going to be more pain for longer, and nothing really is going to get done. So further answering John's question, this is just going to be more long and drawn out. I don't really see much more upside from where we saw about 2 weeks ago. All right. Now, it is car week in Monterey. And so this show today is dedicated to all you car lovers out there. And you people who love those who love cars, you're going to want to listen up, because you may be sitting on an asset in your garage right now, or maybe he or she has it stashed down the street. And that asset could create a lot of problems for you and your spouse and your kids or a member of your family. Find out what you need to know about that before it's too late. You are listening to the Protect Your Assets Show. I am the Sandman. We'll be right back.
Take the first step toward reaching your financial goals and get the information that can help you live a confident retirement. That first step is going to pyaevents.com and signing up for our next free event. That's pyaevents.com. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I am David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And this week it is Monterey Car Week 2023, and there's been lots of activity going on. It all kicked off beginning of the week, but yesterday there was racing up at Sears Point, and the track was just resurfaced, so it's got a nice, clean, fresh feel to it, and lots of expansion on some of the corners, like coming out of Turn 5, so you can really lay it out there. But in any event, there were some great auctions going on, too. In fact, one of the biggest auctions to ever happen, public auctions, was debuted last night. A beautiful Ferrari 62 GTO, one of only three ever made. And apparently this car is going to go from somewhere to $60 to $80 million. You heard me right. Cars are certainly become much more expensive. And this year at the Monterey Car Week, they are featuring the Corvette. They've got every Corvette made since the beginning of time, each year shown there. all the different models. You can even see the new electric hybrid V8, which is apparently the fastest or quickest Corvette ever made, 0-60 time, that you can actually see. It's in a real nice taupe color. Anyway, it got me thinking about cars and the value, particularly when I asked some of these guys, hey, what's this car worth? You know, these things are worth several hundred thousand dollars, particularly just, you know, your 60s classic muscle car, any of some of these new exotic cars. I mean, these things are worth quite a bit of money, and you love these things. I know you do. If you're a car person like I am, we love cars, and they're part of our lives, and we take care of them just like we take care of other things that we own. And of course, we want to protect them, and we want to protect them from us getting in trouble with them. So what are some of the things you need to know about cars, and what can you do about it to protect them for the future? Well, first of all, if you're married, your spouse, and maybe have children or grandchildren, or even maybe another family member who loves your passion for your car like you do. But I'll tell you, I've been doing this for over 30 years, and more often than not, none of your heirs feel as strongly about that car as you do. Even those who do appreciate and admire your car might not feel that they have the knowledge or the finances to properly, that's the word you should underline, properly care for it, or the space. Think about it. Do you have your car stashed all over town? I do, honestly. But, you know, you need space to keep these cars, and that costs money. And when you think about it from a business standpoint, cars attract a negative cash flow. Why? Well, they cost money, sometimes real money, to just keep them going. Cars today that you own might be worth 2, 3, 4, 10 times what you paid for them, but you are constantly putting money into them, whether they're gone up in value or not. You have to store them, you have to maintain them, you have to repair them, and you have to insure them. And so it takes money to own cars. So if you leave them to somebody, whoever you leave them to is going to have to bear those costs. And so with all that in mind, it's important to have a frank conversation with that family member who you plan on passing that asset on to. And so I would recommend you talk to them about whether or not they would, could, or want to become the new steward of your car or your collection when you're not here anymore. And if they decide that they're going to sell those off, let them do that. Be honest about it and let them enjoy it for as long as they want. If they want to sell it, well, that's up to them. But here's what you need to know. You need to make your intentions known, period, end of story. And here's why I bring this up. I saw a case lately. This was recently. Now, for those of you who know me, you know I like aero cars, which are those formula looking indie type cars, but I also really like Porsches. And so we knew someone lately who owned a Porsche, and he passed away, and his widow had inherited the car just by virtue of the fact that it was their community property. And one individual, I won't mention his name on the air, he asked what was going to happen to his friend's beloved Porsche. Well, apparently, this individual went on to tell this distraught widow that his friend had promised him the car at a specific price that was severely discounted to today's current value. Now, distraught widow was so upset that she was actually considering this deal at this price just to stop this person's harassment. So this could have all been avoided by the owner of the car, husband, we'll call him H, we'll call H, making a will. If H had made a will and had talked about this car specifically in the will, then his wife wouldn't have had to deal with this supposed friend who she's now kicked to the curb. What do you need to have a will when we're talking about a car that's worth anything? Well, first and foremost, a will should name an executor. The executor will oversee disposing of the car, but how knowledgeable is your executor about your car? If the answer is not very, maybe it's your spouse in this case, and now you're putting her or him in this position. Well, then, if they're not very knowledgeable, then what you might want to do is a name an additional executor for a specific asset like your car. For example, you could name your buddy Dave to be the executor of the car, or at least someone they could, your son or daughter could refer to if they're the executor after you and your spouse. And then this special executor could have the authority to deal only with that particular automobile. Or you could also have that son or daughter consult with your buddy Dave, if as long as it's described in the will that that's what you'd like to do. You're looking for somebody who is versed in the ins and outs of owning collectible cars and how you might sell those things. Now, someone who did get me into racing, he and his wife came into our office in Larkspur recently, and we sat down, and it was so great to see him. And in fact, I played a video of me driving one of my race cars, and it brought him right back to it. He's in his 80s now and hasn't been in a car for some time, but again, you could see the excitement in his eyes, and everything came back to life once again. The reason for the meeting was they came in because he owns several collectible cars, has an AC Cobra, has a nice old Ferrari, has a vintage BMW motorcycle. All these things that he's enjoyed all the years are just sitting there, and they're in beautiful shape. And they wanted to know what to do because he can no longer really enjoy them. So we were talking about all sorts of things, bring a trailer, other sort of appraisers that are available out there. So it's important that you talk with your executor or the person you want to be the executor on your estate and make sure they understand, first of all, what's involved in selling this car and that they agree to do it. And make sure you put some compensation in there for them because they're not going to do it for free. And if you ask them to do it for free, you're being silly because it's going to take some work and just, you know, give them some percentage of something. If you look at Bring a Trailer, it's a good example of what a buyer typically pays Bring a Trailer just to do it. It's time consuming, so compensate them reasonably. Now, get organized. Make sure there's someone who knows where all your cars are. You laugh, but you may have a car at the shop or with the team, and your spouse or your child has no idea that you even own it or where it is. Then there are all the spare parts. You know what I'm talking about? The extra set of wheels, the shocks, right? The OEM parts that you pulled off. You know what I'm talking about. And of course, there's paperwork. You have all the paperwork for the referral work you've done, the restorations, the storage, all that sort of stuff. Keep all those records electronically, if possible, in a safe place. We use something called the vault. And this is where we share and save all digital records in a format that's easily accessible, secure, and safe. So your loved ones and the person who has to deal with this asset after the fact won't have to worry about it. Now, I would like and I would challenge you to get more educated about this subject when it comes to your cars. And in fact, I have prepared a guide that I'm going to give you this morning as a result of the Monterey Car Week. It's called Estate Planning for Valuable Cars and Car Collections. This is a 13-page PDF that I have authored. It's got lots of great tips in it, and it's absolutely free right now if you call this number, 866-PROTECT. Pick up the phone right now, learn something, protect your asset, call this number, 866-PROTECT. Call now. My gang is standing by. They're sitting there ready to answer the phone and help you get this. They'll need your email, of course, to send it over to you. It will come in a PDF format. Give us a call and get your free guide right now, 866-PROTECT. Coming up next, it's time for our popular They Say segment, where they say if your car is worth over $100,000, you should put it in a trust. Is that true? Find out. You're listening to the Protect Your Show, your Protect Your Asset Show with David Hollander. That's me. We'll be right back.
Take the first step toward reaching your financial goals and get the information that can help you live a confident retirement. That first step is going to pyaevents.com and signing up for our next free event. That's pyaevents.com. Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I am David Hollander, also known as the Sandman around here, and you are listening to Protect Your Assets this morning. And it could be one of your most valuable assets just because you like the shape, the noise, the figure. We're talking about cars. After all, it is Car Week, Monterey Car Week 2023 down in Monterey County. And we've got all sorts of auctions going on this weekend. We've got the Bonhams at Quail Lodge. We've got the famous 18th hole at Pebble, where this week they're going to have a 1967 Ferrari 412P Berlinetta. What a beautiful car. All sorts of cars. Last night they debuted a Ferrari that had not been seen in public for quite some time. And this car, it's a 1962 220 GTO. This car apparently will auction for somewhere between $60 and $80 million. You heard me right. In November in New York City. Last night they debuted it in Monterey, and what a beauty. Do you know what the most expensive auction ever for a car was? 1955 Mercedes-Benz SLR 300 was a private auction. Gotta wonder who bought that. Went for $142 million. Yeah, $142 million. Most expensive car ever auctioned off. Anyhow, in light of the fact that your everyday car, Corvettes, Porsches, Ferraris, might be your daily driver, who knows? You might be one of those. Could be worth over $100,000. And so you got to think about these things, because what happens if you have a car worth over $100,000? Now it's time for one of our fan favorite parts of the show, our They Say segment, where we debunk common myths, half-truths, and sometimes just bad advice that they say.
Who are they? What do they know that I don't? And what are they saying this week? Here's David Hollander, the Sandman's answer.
All I know is that I don't know. All right, so here's one that they say. In fact, I've heard this quite a bit. They say that you should always put your car in your trust. Is that true? Not always. Now, let's think about this, and let me walk you through sort of the steps of what you need to know if you have a car that's worth some money. And if you're a spouse of someone who has a car that's worth some money, listen up. First off, probate. You want to avoid probate at all costs. And so if your car or the car that your spouse owns, which may be community property with you, or your parent, for that matter, you might be inheriting a car from your parent, if it's worth more than $150,000, and just because, kids, it's an old 60s, you know, Camaro that's sitting collecting dust back in the garage, you think it may be worth $8,000. Well, wrong. It could be worth over $200,000. So if we're talking about a car that's worth more than $150,000, then I want you to think about one thing: probate. When you die, a car becomes part of your personal estate, and it must go through a court process called probate to distribute that to the named beneficiary. Even if you have a will, the car will still have to go through probate. And right now, probates here in California and most of the counties that we practice in, because remember, we are attorneys as well as advisors and tax people, is taking a long time, and sometimes up to 3 years just to get a judge to sign an order to give you that property. Now, these could be subject to challenge. I talked about a case earlier where someone's supposed friend had said to the spouse that he was promised the car. And you've also got administrative burdens of just dealing with the court. No one appreciates that, and it creates a lot of stress. So there are two easy solutions to fix this problem of ending up in court. The first, which many people do, is called joint ownership. And what am I talking about? A collector, meaning you can title the car or multiple cars in joint names with your spouse. A car that is jointly titled avoids probate because the surviving spouse is already named owner of the vehicle. One important stipulation is that they must title the car in joint name with your spouse as joint tenants with right of survivorship, as opposed to the tenancy in common, or TIC. If you hold a vehicle as a tenant in common, guess what? You're back in probate once again when one of you dies. But if a vehicle is owned in joint tenancy with right of survivorship, when one person dies, it automatically goes to the joint owner by operation of law and does not have to go through probate. Now, caveat here, asterisk, ding, 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 okay? This has to do with cars that are worth some money. And I'm talking about several hundred thousand or plus in value, because you may be sitting on one of those right now. And if you are, don't do that, what I just said, okay? What you should do is have a trust, preferably a revocable trust, so you could change it later if you change your mind. These are simple. They avoid the hassle of probate, and you can transfer the car on title into the trust. That way, the vehicle is no longer owned in your name. They're in the name of the trust, and the successor trustee who would take over after you can avoid the probate courts because they've got a document which allows them to deal with that particular asset even though you're not here anymore. But what does your trust say specifically about your precious car? Remember the discussion I had in the first segment about the hassle, the documentation that should follow the car's ownership when you're gone? Well, consider this. The issue of liability. Now, while you're still around, realize that a car in your name or in a revocable trust is subject to creditors. And unfortunately, if you're out driving and of course it's not your fault, someone hits you, right? This could open your other assets up to a lawsuit. Now, I have a buddy named Dave whose daughter was driving through the tunnel. She was in traffic, inching along, going to work, wasn't paying attention, looking at her phone, and she bumped someone in front of her. You know how much he's spent in legal bills and settlements? You don't even want to know. We're talking over six figures. Lots of money. So while you're still alive, owning a vehicle in a trust is not much different from owning it outright. You have the same right and responsibility if you own it in your name as if you own it in the trust. That should be able to be revoked. On the certificate of title or ownership, instead of your name, it should say the XXX Family Revocable Trust, dated, etc. As the trustee, you still have the power to buy the car, to sell the car, add to your collection, add to your trust, borrow against the trust, or sell cars that are in the trust. When you sell a car out of the trust, the bill of sale or transfer document is signed by you, probably as the trustee. But if you're not here, it would be the successor trustee who's the one who signs it. Realize, putting your car in trust doesn't change the income tax that would be owed on the car if it's sold while you're still alive. But let me back up and just talk about liability. If you do have a umbrella policy, make sure that on the policy, you name the trust as an additional insurer. Don't just have it in your name and in your spouse's name. That's good. I'm glad you do that. And your kids, if they drive the car as well, they should be on the umbrella. But also make sure the name of your trust that's on the title we just explained is also on the umbrella to make sure that you're covered. All right. Now back to taxes. Since the trust is revocable, you can tear up that trust at any time you want and have the property retitled in your name if you wanted to later on. You also have the right to change, amend, revoke, or terminate that trust at any time, as long as you're alive. And trusts are not complicated to start. But when it comes to your special car, some special thought needs to be injected into that document. And that's why if you have a asset, could be a coin collection, could be a piece of art, could in fact be a car, then I would highly recommend that you sit down with someone on our team who's an expert in this area. Now, as you know, we are attorneys who specialize in this. We are also tax professionals who do tax returns. And we also manage people's money. We are advisors on top of that. So we do all three services under one roof. And according to Professor Merton at MIT, you should be thinking about these types of questions right now before you retire. Now, if you're already retired, you should be thinking about it big time right now. It is Car Week after all. And because it is Car Week, I have put together a special PDF for you this morning. It's called Estate Planning for Valuable Cars. You can get this right now by picking up the phone and giving my team a call. We are here. It's live. 866-PROTECT. Give us a call. Dial this number, 866-PROTECT, and ask for your very own special PDF on estate planning for valuable cars. We will need your email, so please feel free to give that out, and we will go ahead and give you that free PDF called Estate Planning for Valuable Cars, which I wrote. Coming up next, this asset could become very taxable. What are some ways to get around that? I'm going to cover that next. It's all coming up. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you missed any of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, all you have to do is go to pyaradio.com where you can download or listen to our latest shows for free. Just go to pyaradio.com on your computer or mobile device when it's most convenient for you. That's pyaradio.com. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I am David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and you are listening to Protect Your Assets right now. And let's face it, your car collection or your car in the garage or someone you love, their car, could be one of their most valuable collections that they own, one of their most valuable assets. So this week, it is Car Week right now down in Monterey, and today there's all sorts of great races going on at the Rolex Monterey Motorsports Reunion at WeatherTech Raceway at Laguna Seca. All sorts of great things happening. So today we're talking about cars, and if you have a car in your family, your estate, what do you need to know about it? There's a lot of things around cars that are just different. And if you're a car person like me, you know what we're talking about. But if you love someone who has the car, what happens when they're gone? So this whole morning we've been talking about things you should be thinking about if you happen to own a car to protect those you love. I just want to mention before I get into the subject again, what's going on today at WeatherTech Raceway. We have something this Saturday called the Reverse Hill Climb. This is quite fascinating. If you've ever been to Laguna Seca, there's a very famous part of the course at the top as you're leaving Turn 7. It's called the Corkscrew, and it basically goes from the top of the track down about four stories to an S-curve that's super exciting. It just falls out of nowhere. It's as if you're looking at the sky, next thing you know, you're facing down. It's sort of like a roller coaster ride. Well, for the first time, they're doing what's called a corkscrew hill climb, and they're going up the track backwards. In other words, they're driving forwards, but they're going up the reverse order of the track, up the corkscrew for what's called a hill climb for the best time. So if you're interested in seeing that, then I would highly recommend you get out there and see that. There's also a great Corvette collection if you're a Corvette fan. And of course, the Porsche 75 anniversary is this year. I was fortunate enough to be at Le Mans in France. Le Mans, I can say that. And see Porsche debut there, their new 963 sports car, which is a beautiful hypercar. But in any event, the Porsche Rennsport reunion is going on this weekend at Laguna Seca. All right, so today we've been talking about what you need to know if you have a valuable car that you're trying to enjoy while you're retired. And let's just say something happens to you, and now we got to decide what's going to happen to that car. Well, here's an idea before something happens to you. Sell it now. Some collectors, as they get on in years, begin to wind down their vehicle holdings. The advantage of selling while you're still around is that you usually have a lot of knowledge about that car, the history, the restoration specifics, and this information is typically lost when you pass on. Others who don't and hold their cars past their date of expiration because they bring them so much joy, we understand that. For these types of cars that have appreciated significantly, there are capital gains taxes that you have to consider that may make it advantageous to hold on to it until after you're gone and put that as part of your estate and let your heirs do the selling. Now, earlier on, I was talking about, you know, getting a fair price. But let's say you sell a car that is appreciated, and the difference between the selling price and what you paid for that car, less any restoration costs, is subject to a federal capital gains tax of as much as 20%. Now, the state of California could add another 10% on top of that. So let's say that you were very wise, and back in the day, you bought a very special type of Porsche, which you could see out at the track this weekend. Let's say it was about 30 years ago, and you paid Around $100,000 for that car. Well, that car today could sell for $950,000. You heard me right. There's lots of those running around out there right now. You would owe tax on that sale, if you did it now, of $850,000, right? The $950,000 you sold it today for, less the $100,000 of purchase price and all the restoration you did all the years. But if you waited and let that Porsche pass through your estate, hopefully in a trust, we just talked about that in the last segment, your heirs' cost basis, meaning your son or daughter or your spouse who receive that, will step up to the $950,000. So if they go ahead and sell it at one of those auctions this weekend for $950,000, then they will owe zero capital gain tax on that as long as it's not sold for more than the appraised value of $950,000. In other words, that $850,000 capital gain is stepped up and not taxed to your ultimate beneficiary. Now, I call that pretty awesome, and that is possible. There are other ways to do this. Right now, remember, you may be fortunate. I was talking about some Ferraris in the last segment that are selling for $60 million. You heard me right. Some of these things are worth millions and millions of dollars. Right now, today, because of the Trump tax law of 2018, this law will sunset next year, and currently it's $12.9 million per person. So right now you have the ability to take these assets, put them in a type of trust that could transfer not only the capital gain step up, but also the full value of that asset to your heirs tax-free. You heard me right. Tax-free is pretty great. So do me a favor, breathe in through your nose, exhale through your mouth, and picture a day when you don't have to worry about your car's taxes or your estate anymore. You're just driving down the road. Picture a day when you are on your favorite highway with your favorite person sitting next to you, the top's down, the weather's perfect, and you're breathing in the air and loving the revs as you're climbing up to 6,000 to 7,000, 8,000. You know what I'm talking about. Picture a day when you can relax, travel, and do all the things you've always wanted to do. Well, it all starts with a conversation with a team of people who know what they're talking about. We are attorneys, we are advisors, and we are tax people. Find out what you're missing. Call this number right now and get your free estate planning for valuable cars right now. Call 866-PROTECT. That number is 866-PROTECT. Big thanks to my team for putting together another great show today. Because without my team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. Have a great weekend, everybody. You have been listening to The Sandman. Go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.